Come join us at Victory Community Church, the genesis of joy, where we are placing Jesus back at the center of the community. Every Sunday at 10 a.m., under the leadership of Senior Pastor Otis Pettaway III, experience victory with us, where we preach, teach, and praise with victory in mind.
Just look at the person beside you and say, you got to hold on. Got to hold on. Hold on. Just, I like when they say, just keep the faith. Yeah, sometimes we wait on a survival tactic or tip and always trying to give people advice about how to do what they do, how to get through whatever they're going through. No, baby, I'm just holding on. I don't have the answer. All I got is a hold on in my spirit. Well, Pastor, you trying to act like it's going to be bad for a while. I don't know. I know what I ain't going to do is let go. I need two or three hold on-ers to look at your neighbor and say, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Hold on. I need you to hold on because I don't want to be by myself. I don't want to. I'm in the. Turn to Acts 4. Acts 4. Great job, voices. I talked to Bishop Harris this week, and I told her, I said, it's going to be something different going to be happening. I don't know what it is, but I just got a sneaky feeling. There's a shift about to happen. And I don't want anybody in here to miss the shift. Because this one is going to be different. It's going to be different. We're in our series on We Over Me. Starting our series on We Over Me. That means I'm for all of us. Over being just for me. And some of us need to get out of survival mode. Because survival mode only cares that you survive. And you cannot get it all. If you don't understand, we got to go this road together. So we're in our We Over Me series. I hadn't preached in 3 weeks. I wish God gave me something different, but he didn't. Acts 4, verse 31. I'm going to skip around, but we're going to start at Acts 4 and 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And spoke the word of God boldly. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. I'm going to stop right there. I want to talk about the power of we. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Acts 4, this story does not start in Acts 4. It actually starts in Acts 3. There are two disciples walking down the street, and these two disciples that's walking down the street run into a man that was born blind. Born lame, I'm sorry. He was born lame, and he's doing what he does every day. He's lame, and the people brought him to the gate every day to raise money. I'm going to do this a lot today, so I'm going to just get with me for a second. Let me pause for a second and say even lame people know they need a job. Feet didn't work, but he went to work. I didn't make it up. The Bible says every day. It's right here. Man that was lame from birth was carried. Chapter 3, verse 2. Now a man who was lame from birth was carried to the temple of gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. He was lame. Couldn't get to work by himself. But he kept folks around him that made sure he got there. And he's there doing his job, and he runs into two broke preachers. I was telling a friend of mine that I said I was going to talk about two broke preachers. He said, it's not a good analogy to put out in atmosphere. You want to speak because we have some. I didn't say it. The Bible said they was broke. Y'all don't hear me. When Peter, verse 3, I'm going to let the Bible start my introduction. Chapter 3, verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked him straight at him. Look at us. Verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold, I do not have. Sound like broke to me. What you're asking for, I don't have. But what I do have, I freely give it to you. Have you ever ran into somebody looking for change and grabbed a life change? Have you ever went looking for one thing and got something totally different? You got dropped off lane. Doing your job and fooled around and asked the wrong person for some help. And they said, I don't have help. I got healing. And two broke preachers gave him something that silver and gold could never give it. Man gets up on his feet that he's been lame since birth. He gets up on his feet for the first time in his life, and he goes throughout the town. He does not have to tell anything or tell anybody. Sometimes just his showing up was a testimony of what God could do. They go around minding their business, and everywhere he went, they say, that's the man. I need us to stop being biblical characters that define people by the issue they had when you met them. Need us to stop judging folks how the Bible labels people. Mark 5, there's a man that we call him Legion. But when we leave him, he ain't Legion no more. Mark 5, 25 through 36, there's a woman with an issue of blood. But when we leave her, she no longer has an issue. We really should call her just another woman. We see this man in Acts 3, call him the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. But when the story ends, he's no longer lame. He's gained his strength and is a testimony to the power of God in his life. After he's healed, after he's delivered, after he's set free, y'all don't want to hear this, after he was fired from his job of begging. After he was, I need y'all to say this word with me, healed. Mm-hmm. After he was healed, then the church people got mad and spoke of killing Peter and John. Church folks, I'm not making it up. If you look at the beginning of chapter 4, they take them and hold them, and they said, y'all know we should probably kill them because they're disrupting our norm. Because some people are comfortable and used to you being lame and your healing being the thing that disrupts their comfort. Some people are comfortable with you being, see, they not everybody. Y'all better watch this for a second. Come here real quick. Get close to me because I need you to hear this. Some people are more comfortable with you being damaged. Because your deliverance messes up what they thought lifted them a little bit above where you were. They were fine. Nobody was calling meetings while you was at the gate. But it was when you said, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be set free. I'm going. Now you call in a meeting. They said, well, we cannot kill them, because if we kill them, the people that are now celebrating what God has done would make them a martyr, and they're going to be Jesus number two. And the people that were believing said, we can't go in there and mess with them church people. Watch this. I need y'all to hear me. The people in the church was talking about killing. The believers was at somebody's house praying. Y'all missed it. There's a group in the church that was meeting because their norm had been disrupted. Real believers, the text says, was outside praying. And of the two meetings that was had, God only showed up at one of them. What do you do when God is seen more clearly outside of the house that we said was his? They had a meeting. Introduction, conversation, finish. Old news and new news and no, they new, they come on y'all. They've paid their dues. They've done all of their religious things, and they've invited everyone to the group. But God. And it's a group that gathered and said, I just want to get the people that showed they had the power. God move on their behalf. And we pick up our story. Chapter 4, verse 31. When they finished praying, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Never went in the church. never fought against people that had their own agendas. They got in one. Because we over me says, I don't have to do this by myself. I just need like-minded people. So the building becomes a meeting place to determine where the house of God is. I'm not a church. That theology is absolutely crazy. Individual person ain't the church. But this building ain't a church either. Church is community. It's a group of believers that gather. How do you know we are the church? Because we should be on one mind. Gather, calling his name. And by the time we end, we ought to have a sign. Three things. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna help you because I want you to understand what this, because this I'm really starting this one in the deep end, and then we're gonna shout next week. But this one ain't gonna be a lot of shouting, because the moment that they saw Jesus, saw God move, they gave everything they had. Not comfort giving. Not plan giving. Not budgetary giving. They gave. You know, it wasn't pocket giving. Because if you keep reading, all you see is that they gave even stuff that they didn't have, as the accountant would say, liquid. They went and sold some stuff to give it to the cause. Because if once you have, see, this is why I don't argue with people. Because real believers understand you cannot give him credit and don't give him cash. Their giving was a movement, not a moment. It was rooted in being together, being generous, and pushing the mission forward. Three things. I'm going to get out of y'all way. Y'all ready for this? I'm 50% done. Unified hearts lead to unselfish hands. The first thing we must do is realize we're on the same team. You know, I am different because one of my ways of leadership is trusting people to do their job. Yeah, I don't micromanage. I don't look over you. I don't worry about all of the stuff you got going, because I feel like if we're on the same team, you should at least be able to do what you signed up to do. You didn't sign up for training. You signed up for work. Because the pay for training, it's not the same pay for work. Because unified hearts, when we come together, I shouldn't have to do everything. Oh, y'all don't talk to me. We all know people in church that if I don't do it, it ain't gonna get done. Baby, that ain't God. Somebody gonna do it. And if nobody is doing it and you see one person doing everything, how can we be on the same page? Church, y'all don't want to talk to me. Church is not football. There's not 11 people playing the game with 20,000 people watching them play the game, and the 11 need a break and the 20,000 need to work. That's not the same. As church. Church is not the place where you come to be in the crowd. You couldn't to be in the congregation. We go together. Y'all ready for this? Because we're more powerful when we do it together. Can I move myself? Yeah. But if all y'all show up, I'm pretty sure we get it done fast. Unified hearts. Deuteronomy 32 and 30 says, how can one man chase 1,000? Or two put 10,000? Unless their rock had sold, y'all don't want to talk to me, and unless the Lord had given them. How can we do it? Unless we got God on our side. See, I was a young preacher. I was a young preacher. One of the first principles, one of the principles that got me on the principle mindset for preaching is Dr. A. Lewis Patterson, used to pastor Mount Corin Church in Houston, Texas, Fifth Ward, Houston, Texas. Dr. A. Lewis Patterson said that God operates on the open hand principle. He said because man tries to operate on the closed hand principle. The closed hand principle says, whatever I got in my hand, I know I got it. You can't pluck it out, and you can't take it from me because it's mine, because it's in the closed hand. God operates in the open hand principle. Means I trust God to do the leveling. Some people are going to take more out than they should, but I trust God that some people are going to put more in than they should. God never says I'm a God of equality. He's a just God. If we can unite in heart, I promise you, your hand should follow. Can I free three people? Because I need y'all to go to next level living. Is that this is not about love. This is about commitment to the cause. Oh, I love you. Everything in me loves you. But you ain't willing to do what it take to get the job done. Is it really? Y'all don't want to talk to me. I had somebody ask me, I don't know what else to do. I said, have you tried repentance? I know. I promise you, I know AA is a great program. But I need you to know you can't stop at step one. Step one is acknowledgement. You got 11 more to go, baby. You have to have a unified heart to be connected to the mission. Watch this, y'all. It's not just about your heart. It's about your stuff. True love gives. You got somebody in your life that's in prison for something you feel is unjust. Tell y'all the truth. Can I be transparent for a minute? Because I don't want to use nobody else. And hypothetical. Can I just give you my story? Can I speak to y'all? So if something ever happened, I want y'all to know how I feel. If I get in trouble and they got me held somewhere on what they call bond. Don't stop with prayer meeting to get me out. I didn't say don't send thoughts and prayers, but please don't let that be all on your list. I need you to collect an offering and come and get me. I'm sick of church people. All they want to do is pray, but don't want to get up and go do nothing to change what you've been praying for. After the prayer shook the room, first thing they did was gave. Lord, I'm just asking that you touch my pastor. No, no, no. Come get me, baby. Yeah. Can I tell you? Because see, some of y'all gonna look at me funny, but y'all have called me with your issues, your problems, and your circumstances. And the first thing I ask, because God has set my weird mind up the way it is, I don't listen to problems long, because it start echoing on the side of my, right here on my ear, start get to shaking. I just be like, Lord, they still complaining about it. The first thing I ask you is, what you gonna do about it, baby? I don't mind getting in the fire with you, but are you a firefighter? Are you jumping in? Did you run into the fire? Wait, y'all don't want to hear me. Do you want to come out of it? See, some of us have united with people, unified hearts with people that don't want what you want. Baby, I came to get out of this thing. I didn't come to stay. Y'all don't want to talk. See, if we want it together, we ought to be able to do it together. Needing turning on each other or not having a sign. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, unified mind, that he gave. Unify, come together. They sold everything they had. They gave all they had. My first point, unified heart leads to unselfish hand. Second thing is giving is a group effort, not a guilty obligation. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked for any, for as many of their possessions of land, a home, sold them and brought the prices for those things that they were sold for, laid them at the apostles' feet and distributed as were made, and every man according to his need. Y'all don't want to talk to me, because I know y'all are getting mad at me. You're looking at me like I'm finna ask you to go sell your house. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that guilt giving is not godly giving. Guilt giving shows up on your end of the year report, but it does not yield eternal results. It's a group effort. I'm giving because y'all giving. For whatever we give into, there's nothing that I will withhold from God, because I understand that he will weigh the scales at the end. I've seen him do it. I've seen him make money buy things that money couldn't buy. Yeah. I've seen him put me on jobs that I knew I wasn't qualified for, and qualify me for the job while I was on the job, because I was a giver. I've seen people that were able to get things done and get things accomplished because they knew other people, because they were continuous givers together, and because they understood, I can't guilt you in this thing. We're going to do this thing together. You ever had somebody? I have a friend of mine owns a temp agency. She owns a temporary agency, one of the largest black-owned temporary agencies in the entire state of Texas. And anybody, y'all, not particularly, but I literally mean anybody. I don't care what your issues is, what your lack of experience is, I don't care what you've been going through. All you gotta do is call me and say, Pastor, I need a job. I'm gonna call her. And send her your resume. I had people didn't have a resume. I sent them to her. She's helped them create resumes. Because when you are locked in with somebody, we can be on this phone praying all we want to pray, but you still need a job. Because this is a group effort. Now, I'm not going to pay your rent, but I can get you in contact with somebody that can help pay you. I'm sick of church people waiting on the prophet to speak that a check is in the mail. Baby, if you got a job and can't pay your rent, ain't no check coming. And if it do, it's not going to get you to August. I'm going through tough times. No, baby, because some of my giving is correction. Y'all don't want to hear me. I don't give my cash to anybody I can't correct. All you want me to do is pat you on the head, tell you everything's going to be all right. It's not, baby. No, you think it's tough now. Wait till you get some real big. I understand, y'all, that sometimes I was praying for God to give me something. At this point in my life, that won't even touch the surface. So I can't do this by myself. Watch this, y'all. This isn't a task. It's a commitment cause. This is about community. You can't do this by yourself. Because for one person that get fired, there's somebody else hired. I'm already out of here. The world called it the plug. It's a person that always knows somebody can get anything to you. The church ought to be your plug. I don't know what you need, but whatever you need, I know it's in the room. That's your plug. There's somebody in here for everything you need. Because it's the community. Community connection is not about equality. It's about commitment. You sitting here watching somebody cry at the altar every Sunday for a job. And you see them hiring at your job. They ain't putting my name on the line for nobody. They ain't going to mess up my name. But the same person that'll say that, y'all don't want to talk to me, be the same person that say, why the church paying their bills? Because you won't help them get a job. Because this community. See, we think that giving and community is just about us. No. It's we over me. I need all of us to win. Pastor, you trying to figure out how this thing going to work? I don't know, but what I do know is if we come together, we can do anything. Yeah. What about this and what about that? I don't know, but if I promise you if we had 100% givers, it wouldn't be a problem. If we had 100% giving consistently, oh my God. And I hadn't asked you to sell a thing, but I need you to understand this. Giving is worship.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Watch this. So community giving is a part of corporate worship. So if we're sitting in offering time, you ain't pulled out your phone to give online. You ain't opened your wallet and waved your hand to give in the offering. That's not gossip time. That's community time. You look at the person beside you and say, baby, you don't have nothing to give. You need to put something in this offering because you need to understand we're in this thing together. You broke today, but there's going to be a day you're going to have more than enough. And just in case my day come, well, I ain't got nothing. Let me put some seed in you. You stay sitting beside me. So when you come out of this season, I need you to be able to pour back into me. Yeah, I need you to win because you're sitting close to me. Giving becomes contagious when we stop seeing it as a chore and start seeing it as corporate worship. Here they go asking for money again. That means that the community ain't did its job yet. Because we don't have enough to do what needs to be done. Watch this, y'all. Because God always shows up before the offering time. Jesse, he shows up before the offering time. Katina, he shows up before the offering time. Larry, he shows up before the offering. How do you know, Pastor? Because 31 comes before 32. They ain't gave nothing until they was filled with the Holy Spirit. So sometimes it's not an offering problem. Sometimes it's an empty problem. You don't give because you're empty and ain't been filled with. That's why you can sit here while they sing, hold on. And then you sit here looking at them like you at a concert, waiting on a smoke machine to light up because you came for entertainment. And the person next to you got tears rolling down their eyes and said, that was the word for me because I came in here wanting to give up. And somebody needed to. That girl is singing to me. I needed that. I'm still holding. I'm still trusting. I'm still leaning. I'm still depending. I don't care if it was the right key, the right note, the right. Y'all don't want to talk to me. But something in their spirit united with my spirit. You do it. You did your point. You did your part when you came to rehearsal. You did your part when you listened to the song. You did your part. You learned how to play the song. You did your part. Whenever you turned on the mics, you did your part. And I'm going to do my part and stand up and say, you know what I'm holding on to. This is a group effort. I don't need you just to sing to me. I'm going to get up out of my seat. Because what you don't understand that's been sitting down, sometimes the people standing up need to see you stand up to know they ain't the only one holding on. Singing to you and you looking at me like you paid to get in. Like there was a cover fee and somebody was sitting in, it's my seat. Ain't your seat, you ain't paid nothing, you ain't. I ain't gave enough to reserve a seat in here. You better. And then late to worship and act like you want to get worshiped. I ain't got nothing to give. That's why you ought to be giving. If you ain't got no money, you ought to be on time. You ain't came to give nothing. Just sitting there looking. Waiting on somebody to ask you to do something. They put them kind of people out the community. I got three minutes and I'm going to go two over. Even in the world. They don't let you sit in the establishment if you ain't. Some establishments are very expensive and on the menu. When you sit down, you got all of these folks, you do what you're going to do, and there's a time limit. I know, and they come to you with a rehearsed speech. I know you all are having fun. I'd really hate to interrupt you all, but you all got here at 7. It's now 9. By 9:05, we need to flip this table because there's another group that has reservations for this table. And then you get up. I don't know why they're going to rush us out of here, but let's go on and get out of here. But then the church say you need to give because God has given to you. I ain't getting no money to that stuff. The world set prices. I took my kids on a cruise. Took my kids on a cruise, and they was trying to explain to them, you know, when you go to these restaurants on the boat, just go in, give them your card. You go in and give them the card at these other restaurants. They gonna have some numbers on the menu beside everything. You don't want to go in that restaurant. Stay on these. About 2 days into the cruise. One of my kids walked up to me and said, Daddy, so this food free? No, baby, it was included in the price. Because some people trying to wait on you to swipe your card, they don't know it was included in your price. Your job was included in the price. The crazy boss that's crazy for everybody else but scared of you, it's all right. It was included with the calls. You go in and sit down, mind your business. They come in and give you everything on the menu because it was included in the calls. I got to get out of here. First thing is unified hearts lead to unselfish hands. Second thing, giving is a group effort, not a guilty obligation. Third thing is legacy is built when we live beyond ourselves. Having land, they sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Y'all ready for this? We are given to maintain something that will live beyond you. Not pastoring and putting all this time and energy in. So when I close my eyes, y'all gonna be trying to figure out where everybody gonna go. No, baby. I'm planning for my grandchildren. And he said, they're gonna have my picture on the wall. My grandkids gonna say, yeah, he told us about when he sat around the table with six people. Told me when they went to the hotel the day before the first service and they did a walkthrough with people. They ain't never did a walkthrough before in their entire life and thought he was doing too much, but they showed up and they did. Ain't never knew what a sanctuary servant was, but they was in there standing at the door, ready to hand out anything he handed to us. And at the 50th year reunion, some of y'all that's walking in now gonna get rolled in. They gonna say, look at them. They still here. But look what God has done. Because of what you get, y'all don't want to talk to me. But you cannot get there and keep it to yourself. Walk into a building one day and say, y'all, look what God has done. It might be bigger. It might be more folks. But they're going to jump up one Sunday and say, we're going back this Sunday. Grab your neighbor's hand and say, victory, I got it. And somebody going to say, oh, my God, I remember. Pastor, how do you know that this works? I'm done, y'all, because Jesus only had 12. And one of them was dysfunctional. It's more than 12 in here. Jesus changed the world with 12. And they gave them over to him. Why hadn't we taken over? Because we have limited what we're willing to give. Sundays come by, we don't come to church. Don't give. Oh, Pastor, you know the worst thing to call me and tell me? I'm finna free y'all from ever calling me. Pastor, I forgot to give. Forgot? Forget to pay your light bill and see how fast they remember. But in my giving, I don't want to be by myself. Because when you give with the we mind, you leave with more than money. You leave with a movement. Because communal giving is worship that will take over who you are. It's addictive, y'all. Because you can see what you can do and you say, oh my God, y'all, if we all, Bishop Harris, you said in the services what the prophet had a degree in mathematics. He, if I get 72 people to stand with $35.17. And I think to myself, is that really what God wants to do? And what God showed me is don't demonize because you don't understand. understand that when you get a part of the number, that you achieve something you couldn't achieve by yourself. Can I explain to you what communal giving looks like? It's when you get married. And you pay the house note, they pay the light bill. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And you say, hey, I need a partner. I need somebody to pick me. I need to be with somebody. Then you get there. Y'all don't want to talk to me because it's going to get tight because I'm trying to really get you to see how we look at church. And you get in the relationship and don't want to bring nothing but want to benefit for what was brought. But then be appreciated as a partner. Say it again. You want to come with expectations. Be presented without any requirements. And then get mad when what you thought was going to work didn't work and you try to flip it. I'm sorry, they say it like this. What did you bring to the table? And we do it. Watch this. I'm not talking about valuing what you brought. Because partnership doesn't mean equality. Partnership and equality are not the same thing. Okay, let me explain it to you. Because y'all have watched them TV shows. Y'all, if you have not, let me give you a quick understanding that you can be a partner, but not be equal partners. That's 70-30 partners. 25-75. That's people that say, I'm running the front of the house, you run the back of the house. You just got to make sure your partnership covers the 100. Because I need you to work in the places of your perfection. But if we work together, it should all get done. I'm not the cleaner. I married somebody that cleans at a level. She wants to live in a house. Look like nobody lives there. Kathy, I let her. I don't get mad when she starts slanging stuff and throwing stuff that I didn't even see. If I saw it, I probably would have left it there. Because that's your side. But if something breaks, she ain't climbing on no ladders. She's not looking up under the bed to see whether the post disconnected. Because I handle my side. Lay in the bed and you hear noise outside. She's not moving. She's wide awake. It's 2 a.m. I don't know why she woke up out of her sleep. Babe, some moving in the kitchen. You need to go see. Because that's my job. I'm trying to help us understand what community looks like. I know I've been longer than I normally am, but I really want us to catch this we over me. Because when you came to my house, when I was living by myself, had to come on Thursday because that's when the cleaning people came. I had to save up some money every week because I got somebody I want to come through here. I need them to clean this thing up. Because that wasn't my... I had to find somebody that was willing to come with me to do. So, Pastor, I need to close this because I need us to understand that when you come together, I don't need you to do 100% at the church. If we divide it in 5%, do your 5. But you can't do 3 if we're looking for you for 5. Watch this, y'all, and I'm done, for real. And the we never compares themselves to somebody else. Bishop Powell, you did your 3. You missed 2%, so I'm doing 2. Wait, baby. That don't work like that. Well, Pastor, I know you got your chosen group. You don't want to be a part of the chosen group. Pastor always talking to the same group. You don't want to be. Because you giving five. So you got time to watch somebody else. Don't realize they giving 25. Pastor, I wish my pastor checked on me. You want me to call you that much for real? Because anytime I call you, I got somebody to talk to you about. And it's going to end up with you giving more than five. Now I'm trying to figure out what you're doing next weekend because I need you to go do this because the ministry has need for y'all. Don't. Yeah. 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 Be good with your five. Because somebody giving 35. They ain't even been here as long as we have. They didn't even show up to this. Baby, just comfortable with you. Mm-mm. Focus on your five. Because you're disarmed. Watch this, y'all. You complaining about what you didn't see somebody else give. Not knowing they were working behind the scenes. Giving something you never saw. So we got to do this thing together. I told a past friend of mine, I said, well, man, I go to my church on a Sunday. I'm the first one now. I'm turning on amps. I'm turning on lights. I'm turning on the AC unit. Then I get to go in my office, and then I got to stop people. I said, oh, I've been there. She's like, I ain't got no help. I said, I've been there. Well, how was you able to do it? I started giving out percentages. Now, until you learn to preach, need you to turn these lights on. And every week, I don't want to have to worry about these lights being on. Because if I got to do what you can't do, then you need to do what you can't. Because you'll never understand the weight of somebody else until you're not doing your job. Because if we do this thing together, it works like clock. Pastor always got them people with him. You don't want to be them people. Because they make your five look irrelevant. Him and First Lady act like everything all right. Mm-mm, she get it before anybody else. Right. Pastor, they just call people. You know, you put them people in leadership, and they just call people, talk crazy to them. Because it rolled downhill, baby. They got to talk crazy, too. I'm done, y'all. Just say it with me. We over me. I would leave when I get mad, but it's we over me. I'm not going to come to church this Sunday. I can't do that because my grandkids going to need this church. I'm going to say my grandmother went to this church when I remember when they were. Do you remember the stories they said about? Because this thing is meant to live beyond us. But it don't work if we don't give what we have. Amen. Can I explain something to you? Y'all play soft music, First Lady come. That anything you don't have that you sense you need, I'm going to be bold enough to say it. It's not a question of God's sovereignty. It's a fact of either selfishness or stinginess. Because if you don't have what you need, watch this, y'all, either you didn't give what you were supposed to give to get it, or somebody around you was selfish and they won't get you out of what you in. Because then the people gave all they had. Pastor, was this just about offering? No, this was about you. Because until your hearts come together, you cannot unify. So you mean saying the church won't take your money? No, God loves a cheerful giver. The church loves any giver. But there's promise attached with that cheerful giver. It's just us together. We go together. I tell people all the time, you, even in my marriage, I say, people, well, baby, I don't think they like you, but they won't tell me. You would have sat in rooms where people have discussed your church and didn't understand you were under attack. Sometimes you have to watch the way that people handle you and handle the stuff you're attached to. I don't care if you like me or not, but watch how you handle me. Because everything around me wins. Why? Because I'm at victory. You know what God gave me about this church that really changed my viewpoint about a lot of stuff? I've been up here way longer than I was supposed to. Because that only 6 days you can have before you find victory. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. By the time you get to Sunday, you're going to at least see victory. Even if it's just the logo. Every 7 days, you should at least see victory. So when we come together, I'm reminded, I can't stay in this cycle of defeat long. They tell you with antibiotics, you take them for the course. Don't stop taking them when you feel better. Take off. Don't give up on Wednesday. Daryl Cole said, because when Sunday comes, I know I'm going to get together with another group of people. I'm going to find victory by the time I get to Sunday. By the time I get to Sunday, my breakthrough ought to be here. Because I even told the devil I'm going by victory. You alone until Sunday. Let me tell you, I'm trying to get us to really, because see, we become so natural, we lose the spiritual side of it. I'm so anointed that I tell the devil, you only got till Saturday night. Because when Sunday comes, something's going to be said. I'm going to find me a new song. Whatever one they sing. Something on the inside of me is going to tell me that I'm grateful for the things that you've done. Because that's not a song about expectation for something new. That's just, God, I just thank you. And it's flowing from my heart. Then they said, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Oh, that sounds like a good place to be. I tried to be in the bed. I tried to stay in the shower. I tried my lounge chair. I tried the kitchen. I tried all kinds of stuff. But the cross seems like a good place for me to. And I got there, y'all, and I realized I wasn't by myself. They came in and was hugging and said, Victory, I got it, you. And sometimes you don't know that hug is sometimes the only hug people get that week. Because they thought they were defeated, taken under. And then they fooled around and said, who can't win that victory? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all us. I can't watch you drown and keep going. We go together. I'll fight you for you. You have to understand that in this thing of coming together, I'll fight you for you. Because if you don't win, that means we all lost. You live beneath your surface, your ability to do something. It's not, I can't let you do that. Sit in church every Sunday crying, baby, it's time to stop crying, baby, come here. Let's find a solution for that. What's going on with you? What you been dealing with? I see you crying. I see you shouting every week. And it don't seem like a shout of victory. Come, Come close. Let me tell you about the time that I was in the same situation you was in. And that's what ministry is about. The devil don't have no new tricks. We all go together. Pastor, if it get too big, you ain't gonna know me. Yes, I do, because we all go together. Because I don't care how big it is, how small it is. I don't care where I see you at. I was a youth pastor, I promise y'all, in Fifth Ward. I was all the way at Katie Mills Mall, seeing one of my kids working at a store. I made them change clothes, because that ain't the clothes you wear. Take that off. Put this on. I done bought this for you. You gonna put this? She went home, told her mom. Her mom said, thank you. I ain't even know, pay attention to her. Because we're a community. I can't watch you get hurt and I'm just standing on the side. You ought to fight back. No, you're going to fight all of us. I'm done. Somebody just say, we over me. I can't just save me. I need everybody in here saved. I don't give just for me. I give for everybody in here. I want everybody in here to be happy. I want everybody in here to be successful. I want God's presence to reign over all. Let's pray. God, we thank you.
We thank you
for your presence, your touch, your anointing. God, we ask as we hear your word, we receive your word. God, break independence. It's not even your kingdom model. The one that had all power in his hands had 12. We got to do this thing together. God, we ask that whoever's in this room that this message was for, let them not fight it, but receive it. Let them understand that it goes beyond mindsets. It's also including their finances. That you can break the...
Come join us at Victory Community Church, the genesis of joy, where we are placing Jesus back at the center of the community. Every Sunday at 10 a.m., under the leadership of Senior Pastor Otis Pettaway III, experience victory with us, where we preach, teach, and praise with victory in mind.